Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. The college football season is less than a month away. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the Big 12 representative who sent ESPN the cease and desist. And with me, as always, is AJ. Texas and Oklahoma killed tradition, Marchese.
You know, I was going to come on here and also try to sue ESPN / Disney, but now that Jalen Suggs is a part of the Disney family, I'm on board the train.
So are you upset that Scarlett Johansson's suing Disney?
I'm very upset at Scarlett Johansson. They weren't in theaters. ScarJo, what do you want? People to go to theaters and get COVID? Come on. That's literally what they said.
Today, we're continuing our 2022 NFL Draft Summer Scouting Series with the Big 12. Horns down. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft. Gonna set my draft on fire.
Seven.
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 Seven rounds in heaven with my lady, driving out to Vegas, baby, looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Well, Spotify Green Room users will know AJ's no longer doing hockey Spotify Green Rooms. The NHL season's way over. AJ's focus has turned to the NBA draft, specifically the Orlando Magic's draft. Where, AJ, are you just talking about the Magic's draft class?
I'm only talking about the Magic's draft class. And I'm going to break it down, who they would have taken if they had each specific pick in the draft. First of all, I mean, obviously lots of Suggs talk, lots of Franz talk. Don't even need to say the last name. He's just known as Franz around our parts. The big trade in the second round, the Clippers took the Ohio kid. That's all I'll call him. I can't remember his name.
Jason Preston.
Yeah. The Ohio kid. Ohio had a player drafted. Michigan had a couple players drafted. Ohio State, nobody drafted. Just throw that in there, too. And that's what we're talking about.
Dwayne Washington signed with Indiana. That's pretty good. He signed with Indiana. Contract.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, Spotify Green Room, a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and to use. Talk to AJ, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties like the NBA draft, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news like what's Jalen Suggs doing today in Orlando. Share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the group, follow anyone and everyone, and be notified when they go live. Come with your spiciest takes, like why Franz Wagner was the steal of the draft. Okay.
It's not hot. That's just correct.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You know what? My apologies. The Big 12. We have we got through the Pac-12. We're into the Big 12. Next week, ACC?
Yeah.
Part of today's show, we will include Texas and Oklahoma, even though we wish we weren't, because they betrayed the Big 12. The Big 12, which consists of 10 teams, is now only 8 teams. Before we get into it, AJ, quickly, what's your ideal scenario for the remaining 8?
I don't know. I think I'm getting on board of this super big American conference where it's just the Big 12 and the American Athletic combo, and go like add someone else. I saw the college football Reddit, Twitter say add Army and just go like four divisions of five teams. That sounds like a lot of fun. Imagine like a 2 week championship week. I mean, with the playoffs, that's so much, but that'd be really cool too.
I really liked when I saw that the college football Reddit's post of that the bubble or the I guess it's a pod, the pod that was just all the Texas schools.
Yeah, like that would be legit cool, and like it works really well.
All right, you heard it here first. AAC Super Conference, like the Super League in soccer.
But I want it to be called the Big American.
Okay, that's,
I mean, that's a great like name.
That's a great name. Okay, done, sealed, delivered. I'll take it to the bosses. All right, let's get into the quarterbacks, and let's start with my number one quarterback in the 2022 NFL draft, and many people.
Max Duggan.
Oh, Max. He can't throw a slant on time, but boy, can he run. Okay, yeah, so Spencer Rattler, is he your number one quarterback at this point in time?
Yeah, yes, he is. I have a borderline first-round grade on him, Rob.
I think he is clearly, especially the way he got better throughout the season. If you do some of the games like down the stretch there into the bowl game, he's so, and of course he's a redshirt freshman. He was learning as he went, and he was so much better by the end of the season. I think you throw on the tape, and it's pretty clear that although as much as I like Malik Willis, as much as I like Carson Strong, and we'll get to some other big name quarterbacks in the next three conferences, but as much as I like those guys, Spencer Rattler, you come away and you think, like, this guy is a first-round guy. Those other guys showed things that could get them there, but Spencer Rattler is going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair takeaway. And, yeah, honestly, the big takeaway for me that really put him, you know, into that, because it's the summer, we're both of us are fairly stingy on first-round grades, so a borderline first-round grade is rare for me at this point. But yeah, I think the big takeaway was how much he got better at his decision making and minimizing his risks throughout the season. You watch the K-State game where he threw three picks or four picks, I can't remember, and they lost. Three touchdowns, four picks. And then you jump to the Florida game where he was pretty spectacular. It could have been an even bigger game. There's a couple deep drops. And you just come away thinking, okay, another full offseason for, like you said, a guy that's just coming off his redshirt freshman year. With the country fairly normal at this point, going into a normal season, and you know the sky's the limit for him.
It's not just the arm talent, but that stands out so much, and it's the deep ball placement. Yeah. It's out of structure, off platform, these Mahomesian type deep balls. It's the poise under fire. Where I was watching the Iowa State game, you had a rusher coming. Front side, right on him. He felt it. He stayed strong. He dropped a dime down the seam. Just a perfectly placed ball over the shoulders into the bucket. You see that time and time again. And like you said, he just got so much more consistent. Like you saw flashes early in his redshirt freshman season where you're like, yeah, the arm talent's there. Like I can see why he was the number one quarterback recruit, five-star and everything, why there was so much hype. But there's a lot that needs to be put together in terms of consistency with decision-making, placement, not forcing things into traffic, and just being more consistent even with his footwork and maneuvering through the pocket. And then by the end of the season, it's like all this stuff was cleaned up so quickly. And yeah. Through a season in which there was a pandemic and they didn't have a proper spring and fall, and now, another year in the system, another year with Lincoln Riley, returning a ton on offense, and I don't know, like it almost seems insane to think any other quarterback would end up the QB1 by the end of this process. Like we've seen it before where a quarterback comes out of nowhere and does that. Obviously we've seen it fairly recently, but I don't know, he has all the physical tools and the mental makeup. You can just see him progressing so quickly. He's so much faster through his reads by the end of the season. He's not staring stuff down by the end of the season. He's making just consistent jaw-dropping plays out of structure. By the end of the season, he's everything you want in a modern quarterback, I would say.
Yeah, going back to what you said there, I was so impressed with how composed he is, and in the face of pressure, he's just so cool. And honestly, sometimes he's a bit too laxed, where like he just kind of like he's just so focused downfield, which it's not even a knock at this point. And he's usually so good at escaping it, like 9 out of 10 times, perfect. Sometimes you see him just a little chill, and then one of those sneaky athletic Big 12 defensive linemen get on him or something. You know what I mean? But like that will all come clean. And like you said, the footwork sloppy at times, kind of gets stuck sometimes.
I do think it got better throughout the season. Yeah, like
that was the point I was going to make. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But yeah, like it just I'm just going over things. Like you said, the arm is all there. But you know what I'm really impressed with is like it's such an easy deep ball. Like he looks the same toes to the top of his head to the release point when he's throwing a 5-yard pass or when he's throwing a 50-yard pass. And like that just really impressed me. And lastly, last thing I'll add here, his accuracy on the move is really impressive. And like you said, the off-platform throws and just the regular scrambly throws, he just does such a good job of getting his shoulder square, and he's very, very accurate.
I also want to add that he's an athletic quarterback, but he rarely looks to run. Yeah, he always remains a passer as long as he can, keeps his eyes downfield as he's flush from the pocket, rarely tucks and goes. And I think that's something that really separates him from a guy like Malik Willis, who can lean heavily on that rushing ability at times, whereas Rattler always seems to remain a quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I'm sure the situation helps him too, where he knows he's got some really strong offensive linemen, some really great weapons, and whatnot. Can be to where Malik Willis can just out athlete everyone on the field at his level, right? But yeah, no, for sure. His composure level is extremely impressive.
Do you have any draftables on the remaining quarterback?
No, I don't have any other draftables. We can do other quarterbacks.
I just want to touch on some quickly. Yeah. Let's touch on Purdy quickly, because he's a guy who went into last season as a first-round guy, where it was what we like to say a Walter football first-round pick. You threw on the tape and you didn't see it. He's a guy who's going to end up the best quarterback in Iowa State history, obviously. But it's just the physical tools aren't there. And just the inconsistencies in accuracy and the turnover-prone decisions, especially just under when he feels the rush, like anything can happen. So that's I imagine there's a path where we see him at the Senior Bowl and he does end up a day three guy potentially, but that's a guy who is kind of a bigger name than game, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. Like I'll own up to it, I didn't hate him at this point last year. The first round talk, it was insane, but I thought like a mid-ish day three guy. Now I don't have a draftable grade, but I think he regressed big time last season, and like you said, the decision making completely fell apart. I thought his accuracy was just a lot worse. I thought that's something that, like the arm strength was never a tool for him, but I thought like he was a good accurate quarterback, but last year just, completely fell apart. He kind of got his bearings toward the end of the season, but still not a lot there. Another guy getting weird hype, Tyler Shugg, that I kind of like.
I was going to kind of lump him and Spencer Sanders in a group together here. Where it's the guys who you see it at times, they've clearly got the physical tools, and it's just kind of putting it together with consistent ball placement at each level, consistent decision making, and like I like Spencer Sanders a lot, and I think he could be something, but obviously getting hurt last year kind of derailed that. And then with Tyler Shaw, you saw it at times at Oregon, obviously transfers to Texas Tech, big guy. Moves pretty well for a bigger guy.
Yeah.
I think pretty clean mechanics, too. But it's kind of, with both those guys, I think it's more of a wait-and-see thing.
Yeah, like, with Shug, he's 6'5", 220. He looks the part. Like you said, the athleticism is there. I think the arm, not elite, but it's there. You see the ability to push it downfield. I think it'd be really fun at Texas Tech. I think the glimpses are there, but right now his tape is just like inaccurate. Lots of panicky throws, and lots of those are short balls. So, yeah, I think he's gonna be really fun at Tech. And yeah, I like Sanders last year. I think there's something there. And then yeah, Duggan. Honestly, remember I feel like weirdly I gave Duggan shit last year. Like not even obviously he wasn't eligible yet, but I didn't come around on him. But he's better than I thought he was. He's a tough guy. He's a good athlete.
You know, I'll throw him with the other two in terms of it's more of a wait and see thing because he was a guy who he played pretty well as a true freshman, and then he had a heart condition before the season at TCU last year, and obviously with the COVID stuff too. And so he said, I'm pretty sure he didn't feel like himself until December, because he obviously started throughout the year despite the surgery. But so that's another guy who in like he moves really well. He's a very good athlete,
The arm is there. The quick release. And I was kind of impressed at how consistently. I mean, this is a bad thing for TCU, but it was impressive for me that he was getting like I think it was a Texas game. He was getting hit hard, like every snap, but making the throws and tough throws. So I came way impressed about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say those three are kind of in this wait and see thing where
the talent is there.
Yeah, exactly. They have the physical stuff. And just let me please talk about Jared Daigie because he's a Maction Bowling Green transfer to West Virginia. He's a good college quarterback. And I think he's a guy who's going to be at the NFLPA Bowl and play in the CFL.
He has his moments. Definitely has his
moments. He has some impressive deep accuracy throws.
Yeah.
I like undrafted grade, but I legitimately like I think he's quite a good college quarterback.
Bigger grade than Purdy though?
No.
Be honest. Okay. All right. I thought you were gonna say yes.
I wish.
Purdy is my lowest grade of the guys we talked about. Not Daigie though. But the other guys. I have him above Purdy.
But Charlie Brewer was your number one until he transferred from Baylor.
Yeah, he's at the top. He would have been my top guy in the Big 12.
Okay, speaking of Purdy, how about his teammate, Breece Hall? Is he your number one running back?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's my number one running back. Is he your number one running back?
Yes, Breece Hall is my number one running back in the country. I don't have a first-round grade, but I could see him becoming a first-round pick.
I got a mid-second round grade on him right now, but I totally agree, yeah.
Yeah, same. 6'1", 215, incredible balance, big burst for a 215-pound back. I thought a really instinctual runner.
Absolutely, really, yeah.
Yeah, just impatient, which is something David Montgomery also had at Iowa State. They're doing a good job of churning out patient runners. He'll press the line, he'll wait, he'll find a crevice, and he'll hit it. And he turns nothing into something pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, with the instincts, it's just he knows how to string moves together in tight quarters, in the open field. He very good body control was something I thought.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. Like, it's. First of all, he's pretty much ideal running back size. He's sudden but also fluid. And like you said, just the vision is great. He's instinctual as hell. And like when he gets in the open field, he's just so dangerous when he gets to the second level. And then you combine that with the great contact balance. He's got a really effective stiff arm when he throws it. He's dangerous as hell. And he feels so complete right now, except maybe the one thing you want to nitpick him for is you like to see him do more in the passing game. And he had like 23 catches last year, but saw this stat. Apparently, only one of his career targets was more than 8 yards downfield.
Yeah, I was going to say he doesn't get utilized.
Yeah.
a ton as a pass catcher in terms of being asked to do all that much, other than being a check down guy of the backfield. But I do want to say he is a quite competent pass protector.
Yeah, no, very very solid. I totally agree. But yeah, it's almost like. Just using him in the pass game wouldn't just be huge for his draft stock, but that feels like that could be huge for Iowa State's success, period. Because it feels like something that could lend to Purdy's success really well, especially with all the balls he was forcing last year. And I think that would just be huge if they could unlock him, not just as, a swing pass catcher, and figure out a little more of a downfield and let him run a little more routes.
Is your number two back Eric Gray of Oklahoma? who was
he? Is he is? They're my only two draftable grades.
Oh really? Okay, I've got three more draftables.
I have like one, two. I like honestly, I like the whole group. To be completely honest, I just don't have draftable grades. Got a bunch of borderline draftables.
So with Eric Gray, obviously Tennessee transfer, he's now at Oklahoma. Love that. Repping the number zero. He was a guy at Tennessee where, though, you could see it all, physical tools. I think he's got great short area quickness, open field elusiveness, catches the ball pretty well. Not the most powerful runner, but breaks arm runs tackles. Hard, yeah, yeah, he does run hard. I do want to see some things to kind of elevate to, like, because I see a guy who has day two talent there. And I think to elevate to that day two level, I want to see him. Vision was something I want to see improved.
That'll just help having that Oklahoma offensive line in front of him.
Exactly. I'm obviously pass protection. That's always something. I just want to see him kind of turn more inside runs into positives. I felt a lot of the time it was, if it wasn't there, not a lot was going to happen, which is something, going back to Breece Hall does a great job of making something happen when nothing's there. But again, that was like part of the problem was Tennessee couldn't throw the ball, so it was a lot of stacked boxes Eric Gray was running into. But I'm super excited to see him at Oklahoma.
Yeah, he feels like he shot out of a cannon pretty often. I think the burst is great. Yeah. And
he runs, like those, you said, he runs hard as hell.
Yeah, and I think you see some really nice contact balance. You see him go head first or head on into contact and keep his feet and get out of there situations that you're surprised on. I actually would like to see him be a little bit better in the open field. I think the Kentucky game where he was one-on-one with a linebacker once after the catch, and just some open field tackles and just getting tripped up enough that you're like, you know the ones where, you know, the running back's pounding the dirt and hops up after. I'd like to see him just kind of close those out a little more, which I think will happen in the Big 12. And 30 catches last year, but a couple bad drops, just concentration drops that will come. So, yeah, I definitely think he's got the talent to push up to a day two type of back.
Especially now that he's at Oklahoma.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great transfer for him.
All right. My third back's Roderick Thompson of Texas Tech, who
mine I just love.
Okay. He was kind of a pleasant surprise for me. Another well-built back, 6'2", 215. I thought contact balance and pass catching ability were pretty, like, he at Tech, he's catching a fair amount of passes, and he looked pretty confident and comfortable doing it, and he breaks a lot of arm tackles. He's really good balance. I do want to see him make dudes miss a little bit more. I kind of do worry about the overall athleticism there, but I liked what I saw out of him.
Hey, you saw that one long run against Texas, and that's SEC speed. So if you run away from the Texas D, you can run away from anyone. At that size, I think he's got good juice for the size. He's pretty sudden. Like you said, contact balance. You see some like agility there. He's kind of nimble. I definitely think there's a lot to build on for a guy that came out of nowhere for me too.
I also like Letty Brown and LD Brown.
Yeah, after those Letty, those guys, my next group is like Brooks, Brown, and Brown.
Letty Brown runs really tough. He's just a really physical, powerful runner. I loved his contact balance. And then LD Brown from Oklahoma State, I like the elusiveness and the athleticism. I thought he had some big bursts, some nice quicks. You mentioned Kennedy Brooks too. He's a guy who took a year off, opted out because of COVID. He's back now, and you get to pair him with Eric Gray, which is pretty exciting. He's kind of just I thought elusiveness and quickness were kind of his game, but he's well built, and I don't know, he makes a lot of splashy plays.
Yeah, he's a rugged runner. I feel like he's got good vision, just runs hard, breaks tackles. I think he's got the makeup to be a reliable RB2, and he kind of reminds me of Jamal Williams.
Oh, I've got a Damian Williams comp on him.
He reminds me of some Williamses. Maybe it could be Ted Williams on the baseball diamond. 5'11", 215. I like him. LD, I agree with what you said. I was really impressed by his pass pro, though. I thought he had above average pass protection ability. especially for a guy that's, you know, 5'9", 200-ish, probably under 200.
Not big.
I was impressed there. And yeah, Letty Brown just runs really hard. But I do think if he goes horizontal, there's kind of just nothing there. But with the contact balance and the hard running, he's fun. I like that whole group, to be honest. Like, even Rashawn Johnson at Texas, I know he's going to be RB2, but he's a big boy at 6'2", 223. Yeah, is kind of fun.
Former quarterback. I think he's a nice physical, smart runner.
Yeah.
Very willing in pass protection. I liked all these. Like, I didn't dislike any of the backs we watched.
No, I think it's a good group. And, like, I think we'll see a lot of these guys get into camps. Or who do you have draftable grades on after Gray?
Thompson and the Browns.
Okay, so you got a lot. Yeah, and I go Thompson, Brooks, Browns, close and all borderline draftables for me.
Okay, jumping to wide receivers, how many draftable grades do you have?
One.
Who is it?
Surprise me again, Texas Tech. Eric Uzukinama.
So we agree on that, though. I
like him.
He was my favorite. I don't know a whole lot, and he's really good.
Both the Tech guys, Thompson and him.
Yeah. He's 6'3", 220, already built awesome. Eric Uzukinama, however you said it. You said it better.
Uzukinama. I don't know.
Physical as hell at the catch point. Physical as hell after the catch. He never went down on first contact. 50-50 ball expertise. Not big burst downfield. Not like big long speed, but wins those 50-50 balls. I want to see better route running. Part of that is he's like not asked to run more than three routes. But I thought a pretty good release repertoire, despite which gives me confidence that he could improve as a route runner.
Yeah, I think for a guy that's 6'3", 220, I think he's like fairly twitchy and he's got some suddenness in him. Mm-hmm. And those traits are huge when you can just learning how to run routes. I think, you know, like DJ Chark, obviously not the same players, but remember him? Like, he was not running a lot of routes in college, but you saw the traits there. Not comping them, obviously. They're very different players. But I think when you see that suddenness, especially for a bigger guy, which Chark's big too, I think that translates into a guy that you know can get there if he wants to, you know?
Mm-hmm. He also, I thought he did a really good job finding holes in zone coverage. They run a lot of option routes, and he seemingly always made the right decision. He'd find good holes, settle down, just pick up 5-7 yards. I don't know. I know he broke his arm this offseason, so we'll see what happens there. But he's looking like a guy who's like a legitimate high day three or higher draft pick at some point.
Yeah, I have a late day three on him right now, but no, I think the talent is there.
I want to point out two wide receivers who I just want to see more of. Both the Oklahoma guys, Theo Weiss, Jaden Hazelwood, both really young, both I think technically because of COVID rule will be redshirt sophomores.
Yeah.
Weiss obviously played a lot more last year. Hazelwood was the big recruit. And then obviously they have Marvin Mims, who's still another year away from being eligible. But I think clearly the best. I think those two are definitely guys to track because you can see the talents there. Physical tools like Weiss can fly. Hazelwood's more of a big physical body, like Denzel Mims-esque type receiver. So I'm really excited to see more of them. You just need to see more at this point. I do. Who's your number two guy?
Xavier Hutchinson, but
you don't. Love
I just him. Think he's reliable.
Yeah.
What?
I was gonna say yeah. I'm excited. Another guy I just want to mention, Joshua Moore, Texas, just to see how Sark uses him because he can kind of fly. So that's a guy who could. He's really real thin. That's a guy who could do something. And I one more thing. Winston Wright from West Virginia. I really like the way they use him. Like, I don't have a draftable grade on him, but he's fun.
I'll add one more thing here. It's not to talk out of school, if I'm even using that term right, but I saw Dane Brugler had Braden Johnson from Oklahoma State in his top 20 senior receivers.
Yeah, I saw that.
I wasn't super impressed. Yeah.
Yeah, I like a lot of these younger guys more.
Yeah.
Like he could fly a little bit, but his 2019 was better than his 2020.
Yeah, like, he's a decent deep threat, but he just really struggles to find the ball at times.
And yeah,
if you're a deep threat and you can't do that, then you're in trouble.
The ball skills and the route running were the big. I'm not so sure about him. But talking tight ends. That should be our. We should do a show where we just do tight ends.
100% agree.
Who's your number one tight end?
I like the two obvious guys here, but my number one is the soon-to-be SEC man, not really, Austin Stogner from Oklahoma. I have them very close between Stogner and Kohler, but I think just Stogner's upside is a lot more enticing.
A lot, yeah. So Stogner, he's playing a lot of the same role that Mark Andrews played at Oklahoma, where he's playing that big jumbo slot, 6'6", 260, plays some H-back as well. Kind of just a bit of a power forward out there, kind of dunking on dudes. Really good in traffic. Again, awesome catch point player. Doesn't do a ton as a blocker. Isn't asked to do a ton as a blocker also because he's playing in the slot so much. And isn't asked to do a lot in terms of route running. A lot of seam routes. But yeah, he's just a guy dripping with potential.
Yeah, you see the body control. Like, obviously, like you said, 6'6", 260 is huge. He's got a big catch radius and he uses it really well. Ties that with a nice body control, some nice vertical speed, but like you said, kind of a lot of seam routes. I will say, as a blocker, very, very not technically sound, but I think he's got plenty of strength to him, and I think he's willing. I think.
Well, he's also huge.
And he's huge, right? So I don't think, like, obviously it's going to be a slight knock for him if come draft time for him, but I don't think an NFL team is going to look at him and be like, okay, we can't ever turn this guy into someone that could play in line.
Well, I mean, you can use these same things with Mark Andrews, right? Like, and I don't think anyone's complaining about that with Mark Andrews.
No, but I think even at this point, I think he's a better blocker than Mark Andrews was.
He's better than Mark Andrews. You heard it here first.
At this point, yeah, he is.
So far of the tight ends we've done, it's kind of there's. I don't think there's anyone who you absolutely bang the table for as a top 100 guy necessarily. Do you have where would you put if just because we talked about three good ones last week in the Pac-12? Where would you put Stogner if you're ranking him with those three?
Slightly ahead.
Okay, I've got him behind all three.
Okay, very very slightly. I got a 4th-5th round grade on Stogner. I got a 4th-5th round grade on Kohler. I had a 4th-5th round grade on those three too. So it's just like it's really just slightly ahead.
Okay. With Kohler, you're getting another guy who's 6'6", 260. Great hands. Really physical at the catch point. Does a good job finding holes in zone. Big worry is just not a very good athlete. Nothing as a route runner. Like, I can't see him really elevating himself past being a day three guy, mainly because of I just don't think he has the athleticism. Yep. And just the lack of separation and the lack of route running ability scare me off. But I do have like a firm day three draftable.
Yeah, like if I have a 4th-5th, I think like he's going to go there and he's not going to go any worse than that because there are teams that still covet guys like that. Because, you know, he's a bit like a Kyle Rudolph. Like, he's big, he's physical, a bit physical after the catch too. Like I said, he's not fast at all. But he's not some cumbersome guy, I don't think. Like we've seen a lot worse athletes at tight end.
I think it's part of my issue though is he's not a good athlete and he's like he's just giving me nothing really as a route runner.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you like his teammate Chase Allen?
I think Chase Allen blocks really hard.
He does.
Well, it's funny because Stogner and Kohler are both the pass catchers. Then we got Chase Allen and Jeremiah Hall. Who are both just like, like all they're there to do is block. I think Chase Allen can find himself into potentially onto a roster because of his blocking efforts and his size. I'd like to add 20 pounds to him though and just have him only ever block. I also really like the way they use him.
They use both of them so well. Like it's
yeah. And then
Kohler's the wide receiver one in, on the team, really.
Yeah. And then with Jeremiah Hall, he's like, he's more of a true fullback, really.
I like, I always enjoy the, those, like the fullbacks that Oklahoma trains. Feels like they're one of like the most fun for fullbacks. Remember, I still love Dimitri Flowers, Rob. I'll never forget Dimitri Flowers.
I'm honestly still shocked he didn't make it in the NFL.
I think just the NFL is not creative enough for him. I think some team should have found a role for him.
If Shanny had him, he would have been thriving.
100%. You know, this is big in the weeds. But I thought Tyree McCants, the old USF wide receiver, who was built like a fullback. I think they could have turned him into an elite fullback.
He was built like Nick Lewis. He was built like Nick Lewis from the Calgary Stampeders.
He was. I love Tyree. But he was so good for USF.
You just missed the glory days of USF football.
Like 3 years ago? Yeah. I mean, and then before that? Yeah.
Okay, offensive line talk. Let's just do you want to do tackles, then interior, or do you want to do it all together?
Do it together.
Who's your number one overall offensive lineman?
Marquise Hayes from Oklahoma.
Okay, I do not like him.
Okay. I don't have a high grade on him. I got a
date. Okay, I have a fairly high grade on one of these guys.
Okay, here, you go ahead since you got you're a fan of someone.
Wanya Morris, who transferred from Tennessee to Oklahoma, similar to Eric Gray, who should be starting at left tackle for Oklahoma. Yeah. I think you can see why he was a 5-star recruit. I hate that Tennessee rotates him in and out. Really annoying.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't get eyes on him because I couldn't figure out when the hell he's playing because they play him at the fucking jumbo tight end spot too.
They rotate him and Johnson. I can't remember his
Johnson,
name.
Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, they rotate them like every series. It was really awful.
Yeah.
But he's a heck of an athlete. 6'5", 312. Moves really well. Does a really good job getting the second level. Plays with some MF-er to him. I thought... the bend in leverage he played with was awesome too. He's a very talented run blocker who just is technically not there as a pass protector. His feet are a little wonky, his base can get pretty narrow, his hands can shoot outside and won't be on time with his feet. And add that all together and that hurts your anchor, obviously. But I'm really excited to see what happens with him at Oklahoma. Because again, I think all the physical tools are there, and he's a very talented run blocker. I like him a lot, and I think he's got some high potential.
Fair enough. Tennessee's gonna feel really stupid when Morris and Gray go high from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say Obinna Ezzi, the Memphis transfer to TCU. He's a guy I've seen hype on, and I don't see it. And because there's only two tackles we're really talking about here, him and Wanya Morris, figure let's bang that out. Do you see it?
No, I don't.
I don't get it. Is it because he's a name that's been around? Like he's a good AAC guy, and he's 6'8", and like he plays so high, and his feet are awful.
He had buzz until you mentioned it. To be honest.
He's like a 6'8 athlete who moves quite well, but like he doesn't, like I don't know, he doesn't know how to pass protect at all, and he plays so high, and it's almost like he walls guys off in the run game rather than try to get in them and drive them downfield. I don't know. I just thought I should mention because he's transferring to TCU, and I don't know. I just didn't see it.
Yeah, no, me neither. And hey, you didn't see with Marquise Hayes. Well, I actually a guy I saw lots of buzz for. I like him as a day three guy. Like he's 6'5", 330-ish. Big guy, powerful guy. I think the anchor is good. Pulls well. He moves pretty solid for that size. And he holds up pretty well in pass protection. And this time last year, I think there was buzz for him too. And I threw him on and Tyrese Robinson on and I wasn't impressed with either of them this time last year. You saw the traits, and Ely. But,
they're both huge.
They're both big. And I again, throw on the 2020. I don't think Tyrese Robinson made the steps. I think he just looks still so sloppy, and he's just slow, and he loses like that. But I think Hayes, I think he got his shit together, and I think he's going to take another leap this year.
Yeah, with Robinson, you can see the power at times, but yeah. I think sloppy is kind of the right word there. Just kind of doesn't have the athleticism to hold up, and that can be a problem in pass protection. Where, you know, I think you're right with Hayes in terms of, and Hayes being like, he's so big. I think he's both the better athlete and more of the MF-er in him.
Agreed.
Of the tone setter. Feet were the big thing with me. Feet and bend. I want to see him play with better leverage. All that power, all that size behind him. And he'll pop up too frequently. And then, in pass protection, when the feet get sketchy, the base gets sketchy, and that's when the whole thing collapses. But I can see that. I definitely see the steps towards him becoming something.
Yeah. Did you have any draftables on the inside?
I like Josh Sills.
Okay, I got a 6-round grade on him.
Okay, and he's a guy who kind of what you said about Hayes, I thought, obviously West Virginia transfer, I thought he got a lot better this year at Oklahoma State. And
you know 6'5". I was kind of impressed that, sorry, just to jump on your toes here, but he had they kicked him out to tackle just because of injuries at times, and he didn't look bad. He didn't look bad.
And he 6'5", 328. He's built to be a left guard in the power scheme. But yeah, when they asked him to tackle, he did a lot better than I was expecting.
Me too.
Really powerful. Not the greatest athlete. That's kind of the big flaw. That's why I think he's like power scheme specific. But I think really strong hands, great leg drive when he gets to India, a strong anchor in pass protection.
He's got a wide body. He's really bulky up top.
He looks like a guard.
I
also totally agree. Speaking of a guy who played guard and then kicked at the tackle, Doug Nestor, who was at Vautech, just transferred to West Virginia. He's a guy who Vautech was playing him at right guard, and due to injury, he kicked at the right tackle and looked surprisingly good there. That's a guy who I just kind of want to keep my eye on. 6'7", 321. He was the biggest recruit Vautech had gotten in a while. And now he's out West Virginia, and I like what Neil Brown's doing, and I'm excited to see him there.
Go Mountaineers.
I don't like any of the Iowa State offensive linemen. I'll tell you that for free.
Not really. Just to wrap up the offense as a whole, because that's what the Big 12 is about, feels like a bit of a down year, especially because of the wide receivers.
The wide receivers, I think, specifically. I mean, Breece Hall's that dude. Spencer Rattler's that dude.
Yeah.
We both like Stogner. But yeah, I mean, outside of Rattler and Hall, there's no like, oh my God, type dudes, right? Like, I mean, it's the number one quarterback and number one running back, but after those two.
Yeah, it's saying a lot, but still, no, I totally, we're like,
especially with the wide receivers, though. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, like Marvin Mims is next year. Like, it feels like a lot of the top guys are coming off their freshman years.
Marvin Mims is going to be in the SEC by the time he comes out.
That's a good point. He's staying for all 5 years.
And to learn more about the Orlando Magic, tune into Spotify Green Room for when AJ goes live every Tuesday afternoon with Magic Talk with the Magic Man.
Now you see me, now you don't.
It's live audio-only sports talk platform. It's not only Magic Talk, but that's why most people download it out of the iOS App Store.
So that's why most people download Green Room in general, is to listen to Magic Talk.
Yeah, yeah. Not even just AJ, just different people doing Magic Talk.
There's a lot of us out. It's a very saturated market, but it's rich. It's rich.
So, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. Follow all the Magic people. And come with your
Magic Kingdom, we call ourselves.
Come with your most magical takes.
Suggs is going to be an all-star for sure.
Interior defensive line. Give us your hot take.
I like Perrion Winfrey. That's my hot take.
He's awesome. Junior college transfer, was incredible last year for Oklahoma. I expect him to be even better this year. We haven't had a lot of thus far in our talks. We haven't had any, like, I think Ralph Hawley's been the interior defensive lineman we've loved the most in, like, Winfrey looks like a guy who could be a top 100 guy for sure. Three tech, one tech, nose tackle, moved all around, 6'4", 297, twitched up, carries his weight really well.
Yes, for sure.
I think he, as a power rusher, he is very talented. He does a really good job getting underneath guys and just blowing them up, generating power in short area. And like I want to see him be more stout as a run defender. He can kind of get washed out there sometimes.
Yeah, if he doesn't win that with just initial quickness as a run defender, yeah, he gets stonewalled. Yeah,
agreed. But again, a junior college guy who transferred to Oklahoma during the pandemic and was that flashy his first year at OU, and so I think a dude OU seems to have all the most interesting defenders in my mind. I think he's a guy who, on a really improved OU defense last year under Alex Grinch, like, he's a guy who's poised to be all Big 12 easily.
Yeah, I think right now, if I had to guess, I think he goes top 100. I've got a fork on him right now, though.
Same. Yeah, no, he's one of the best defenders in the Big 12, I think, prospect-wise.
Definitely. Who's your second guy? Big old Keandre Colburn?
Siaka Ika from Baylor, who was the LSU transfer. This is a guy who I think, similarly to Winfrey, is going to blow up this year. Now, he looked really good as a freshman, was part of that championship LSU team. Dave Aranda left for Baylor. He was asked to play less nose tackle and because they played more four-man fronts under he who shall not be named as defensive coordinator. And now he's transferred to Baylor. He followed Dave Aranda there. He's going to be playing that true nose. He is powerful as hell. He can just eat up space, hold, and occupy blocks. I'm really excited for him as a nose tackle.
Yeah, no, he's pretty exciting.
He's also 6'4", 350.
Yeah, he's big. Colburn's what, 6'2", 350? He's massive, too.
He's my next guy. He's my third guy.
Yeah, I've got a late draftable on him. I think there's a lot for him to work on. Like, even just being more consistent in the run, which I think is, like, the biggest, you know, when you got a guy his size. But, I think again, he was only a redshirt sophomore last year, I believe. So, I think he'll take another big leap.
Yeah, he inconsistent, but when he's on, he's a very talented nose tackle. And he plays really good leverage. He's like, again, like you said, he's only 6'2", but 350. He's got like kind of some natural leverage to him, not to the state of Puna Ford, but he can really sit down, anchor down in the trenches at times.
The glimpses are all there.
I'm almost put these three together, Winfrey, Ika, and Colburn, just kind of at different levels in terms of you've seen it. And now getting another year, and Ika being in a better system, Winfrey come another year out of JC, Colburn just developing because he's a younger player. I can see them all being pretty flashy defensive linemen in the Big 12.
And Dante Stills.
I was about to say, Darius is worse, I think. I like Dante better than Darius.
Yeah, of course you're gonna say that. I do too.
I think just a lot longer, a little leaner.
Yes.
Yeah. Has a little more in his hands. Less reliant on gap shooting as a pass rusher, more reliant on those hands. He'll be all Big 12. I don't know. I saw some hype for Corey Bethley. I don't know if that's just a TCU thing. Like, TCU's always producing dudes.
Look how good Ross Blacklock's been.
In fact, I probably had a first round grade on him. So, I didn't really see it with Bethley.
Agreed. Jumping to edge, if we may. May we?
We may.
Is your top guy Nick Benito?
Yeah.
How fond of you are of this man?
How much do you
like Nick Benito?
Are you gonna dunk on me? You'd be like, he's actually terrible.
No. I don't think he's terrible. I'm not sure what I, because okay, like PFF says he's like the greatest player in the country.
Well, he is.
He is. Sorry, you're right. Okay, I'm on board now.
PFF. I like him quite a bit. I think he's a really explosive pass rusher who's undersized, playing a stranger role because he's really playing off ball linebacker a lot of the time. Well, they play kind of that multiple front where they'll go three down linemen, and he'll be a true edge. Sometimes they'll go do a 3-3-5 with him playing like a Sam linebacker role.
He's not bad in coverage.
No, he's not. 6'3", 238, so he's not like the ideal size for an edge, but he's explosive as hell. I think he's very bendy around the edge. He dips really well. His hands, you see flashes of a club arm over. You see flashes of swipes. I want to see him kind of develop that and see a little more consistency in his hands. But in terms of being this far out from the actual draft, like the bend, the twitch, the get off, like the speed,
get off, yeah.
You can see why people are hyped up about him.
Do you have a top 100 grade on him now?
No.
Okay. No, me neither. Okay, I was just wondering.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like he is. Like I have him behind of the guys we've done. I've jumped ahead, but like sticking with just the conference that we've done on the show, I have him behind Kayvon Thibodeau. I have him behind ZTF. And he's my third.
Yeah, I think
I have him ahead of my Jay Sanders.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Okay, so same zone.
So I had a fifth on my Jay, I believe. Yeah, yeah, around the same.
Okay.
But yeah, no, the get off and just the bend, like the traits are all there. It's just yeah. Yeah. No, I totally. He's fun. He's very fun.
Who's your next guy?
I kind of went back to O'Shea Mathis, who I just like the potential there with him.
I want to say with both him and with Trace Ford from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, those are my top three guys. Yeah.
I think both of those, Mathis and Ford, they're both quite explosive, quite twitchy.
Yes.
Mathis is long and lean and... Yeah. He's got some bend to him. He doesn't really have much of a pass rush plan other than attack that outside shoulder and win with my athleticism.
Yes.
But he's exciting, I think. I think Trace Ford's exciting too. Trace Ford, it's kind of a simple... I think Trace Ford plays a weird role too where there'll be times where Oklahoma State just has him play like off-ball linebacker and blitz from wherever he wants, which can create mismatches. It's smart on their part. But both are really raw as run defenders and raw with their hands and pass rush plan. But I like them both. Like they have NFL talent.
Agreed. Yeah, and I think like Ford's put it together a little more. They're both good.
I would say Ford's more ready, whereas Mathis, I don't know. He just seems like he's
higher floor, higher ceiling. Yeah,
higher. Okay, want to jump to linebackers?
Yeah, you already said all these guys are the same, so who's your top guy?
I do want to make a point that the Big 12 linebackers, now this is something that makes me really appreciate conferences where a conference like the Big 12 that's known for its pass heavy offenses, like it's clear there's a certain type of linebacker that is recruited to the Big 12 where it's these guys who are almost bigger safeties. I mean, Malcolm Rodriguez at Oklahoma State was a safety. And they're undersized linebackers who move really well and are more competent in coverage than a lot of other linebackers. And I think that was something where outside of like Mike Rose and Colin Schooler, most of these guys kind of fit that same bill in terms of their size and their athletic gifts.
Yes.
It's clear
they're trying to get CFL linebackers.
Yeah, exactly. Who's your number one linebacker? Because I like two a lot.
Okay, I don't have any draft grades. I'm not a huge fan. I actually gave it to Mike Rose, top guy. Just pure production.
I think Brian Asamoah at Oklahoma is super talented.
Yeah, no, fair enough. He's my third guy.
He is a freaking flash on the screen with his athleticism. Now, he's 6'1", 228. He hits like he's a car crash. So does... I'll get to my other guy in a sec. and he'll play Will. He'll play Mike. I mentioned how they have Benito kind of play that Sam. And then Asamoah and Deshaun White are the two true off-balls. He'll get, like, lost. His instincts aren't great. He'll get lost. He'll bite on play action. He'll take himself out of plays at times. I think he's good in zone. I want to see kind of more awareness. Like, he has the athleticism to hang in coverage. It's just more about his eyes and being more aware of spacing and where pass catchers are. But I don't know. I just love how fast he fucking plays. He looks to kill people. I really appreciated that. And then my other guy's Terrell Bernard, and it's a similar thing. Bernard from Baylor, who's just playing lights out, gets downhill in a fucking hurry, looking to kill people. A little better instincts. Both of them struggle to stack and shed. The lack of length. They're both like 6'1", yeah, in the 220s. I just love the play speed. I love the physicality and aggressiveness from them both. I haven't liked a lot of linebackers we've watched to this point in general, so I got excited to see dudes who play so fucking fast.
Overshawn is what, like 6'4", 217? Like, it's...
Yeah, Overshawn looks like a guy who was probably a stud in high school because he's so long and athletic, but he just doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. I totally agree. But yeah, this so far, I haven't been... But I mean, we're still early, and we're not even into the linebacker conferences, really. But I haven't been super impressed.
The Big Ten?
The Big Ten, baby. That's where all the linebackers will shine.
Give me some more Josie Jewels.
I really haven't bought into any linebacker. I like hearing you get excited, though.
Mike Rose is the reigning Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He's not like the two linebackers I just talked about.
No.
He's built more like an old school linebacker, 6'4", 250. They use him in a lot of different ways. I do like that, but he's just not a very good athlete. Plays really hard and he hits really hard, but he also misses a lot of tackles. I don't really like him. Malcolm Rodriguez is really small, plays really fast. Yeah. Colin Schooler would have been in the Hall of Fame 30 years ago. I like Deshaun White a little bit too. He's really fast. I was just enamored by the speed and all these linebackers being so fast and athletic, other than Mike Rose and Colin Schooler.
It definitely is cool that it's like the CFL. The Big 12 is like the CFL.
Yeah, I agree.
Jump to corners. Who do you got at the tippity top here?
I have one guy who, like, clear-cut number one, Trevius Hodges-Tomlinson.
He's my top guy, too, but I still like Deshaun Jameson from Texas.
Yeah, he's my number two.
I think they're the top two guys, and that's it.
So I think my favorite thing about Tomlinson was his ability to play both man and zone. Like, he just was natural mirroring guys. He has great, quick, fast feet. And then in zone, I thought he did a really good job using his body to cover guys and putting himself in the right place. Like, pretty good eyes, attacks the ball well. His closing speed really helped in that regard too. The big thing is he's 5'9", 177, so he's not built like an outside corner. So is he a nickel at the next level? I'm not sure, but I don't know. Like, he's fluid. He's so smooth. He finds the ball in phase really well. I like him a lot playing off zone or off man. Not great in press, just because, again, the size thing. But really natural corner.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. I think he's clearly the top dude. But I still think there is something there with Deshaun Jameson. And I don't know if he got better last year, maybe a little bit. But I still like all the traits there. You know, like, he's quick-footed. The hips are still pretty smooth.
I thought we were talking about Tomlinson.
Yeah, no, I jumped to Jameson.
Oh, I got so confused. Sorry.
You said it. I agree with you. I agree with you. He's the top guy. I was going
to
say Jameson.
I thought you were
going to
tell me I'm wrong.
I like Tomlinson a lot, too. How high of a grade do you have on Tomlinson from TCU, the cornerback?
He is my highest rated Big 12 defender.
Okay. I don't have him over Benito, but he's my...
I've got him, Benito, and Winfrey are my top three.
Mine too.
Oh, wait, no. Greg Eisworth's my number one. Mike Rose my number two. And there's no one funny to say.
Oh, the rules of three.
Colin Schooler's number three.
Colin Schooler, there you go.
Jameson's a guy who's, a really good return man.
Yes, yeah.
Two.
I always like the good return guys, our DBs.
Me too. Like, I think he's... He's a really clean athlete. Yes. Two things. I want him to, he's not a great tackler. He struggles to find the ball at times. I don't like him that much in zone, but I like him in man coverage. I like him as a nickel. Yeah. I think I have a draftable on him.
Yeah, me too.
After those two, I think he falls off a cliff.
I totally agree. But yeah, I remember last year I was higher on Jameson. I was just really hoping he'd make a leap, and he didn't really. But again, it's COVID. So hopefully it comes this year.
I mean, at minimum, I think he finds his way in the NFL's return, man.
Sorry?
I think at minimum, he could find his way into the NFL as a return, man.
Yeah, no, I agreed. I agree with you. And that's not even saying that he's a bad DB at all.
No. Definitely not. Do you like the safeties?
I mean, I don't... Okay, I feel like I've had such a...
Do you have any draftables?
I want draftable. Okay, yeah, who? Yeah. Colby Harville Peel. But I feel like I've had such a...
I don't
love-hate relationship with Harville Peel. I feel like this time last year, I shit on him. And then, like, early in the season, he was really good. And then late in the season, like, there's a couple games where he couldn't find the ball. But you know, as, like, a center fielder, the talent is there. I don't... I think a lot of people might be higher on him than I am, but
I don't see it. I don't know. Am I missing something? I like Trey Sterling more than him.
People like had him I don't mind Sterling either. I swear people had like top 100 grades on him, and I'm not there. I got
Do you remember he originally came out, and then like a day later he decided not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was like hype around him, and so he's a guy who plays some single high, he plays some too deep. I think he's pretty natural dude in zone. I just don't think he finds the ball very well.
It's inconsistent. Sometimes he's so good at it, and sometimes he can't find the ball. I think it was Bedlam, if I'm remembering. I didn't do this game in preparation of the podcast, but I just remember watching it live. And there was one game where like he just could not find the football. But there's other games where he's got picks, like, and he's doing it really well, center fielding. So it's like, it's just finding consistency. So I got a day 3 grade on him. I think the talent is there. I think if he puts it together, it's there. But I don't see the top 100 guy, especially after, you know, like without this season coming. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like Trey Sterling, too. I don't have a draftable on him, but I like him as well.
I don't have I don't have any draftables on the safeties. I have some guys who, like, I enjoy watching. I like Van Zandt at TCU a little bit. I like the way they used him. They used him a lot, playing just true nickel and like blitzing him. He last year seemed to be playing the role Ardarius Washington had played the year before.
I know, yeah.
Which is just a fun role in general because TCU blitzes the hell out of their nickels. Yeah. And like he was a really physical guy, so I liked him a little bit. He's flashing. I think Dullern Turner Yell, another nickel type guy. He's kind of the best cover nickel.
Turner Yell's my third guy.
Yeah, of this group, I thought of the guys who play a lot of nickel, he was the best in coverage, the smoothest, the best.
He's a huge recruit, wasn't he? Or am I just misremembering?
You might be thinking of the other hyphenig, Ridley Hines, who transferred to Washington. He was a big recruit. Okay. Turner Yell maybe could just have been too.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just I remember his name's been around for so long.
Greg Eisworth. Tackles really well. He's a great tackler. Special teams. Chris Margos, who's my comp last year. I stick with it.
Yeah, it's the great comp.
I like Alonzo Adai, who is his cousin was the DB coach. He's now at Georgia. And his other cousin is, what's his name?
Joseph.
The old Charger safety.
Oh, Jaleel.
Yeah, Jaleel. He's a New Hampshire transfer. He knocks dudes out when he gets the chance. They play a lot of three safety last year, so he was playing a lot of. He play single high, play some two deep. He come down, play some nickel. I just really instinctual football player who love getting in the mess against the run. So I that always says to me special teams potential there. Him and Eisworth, I think, got special teams potential.
Like Eisworth will be in the NFL, but
I mean, he's got a chance to be a four-time first team All Big 12.
That's crazy. Crazy. By the way, Turner Yell, 3-star, 247. It's just the Grinch got him going. The Grinch got him going.
Wow. Is that everyone you want to talk about? Is anyone else?
Yeah. No. We're good. Let's. Who do you got winning it all in the Big 12?
Oklahoma, shocker, over Iowa State.
Okay, I also have Oklahoma. Shocking. I also have them over Iowa State. But, like, I kind of wanted to pick Texas as, like, I don't know. I feel like something weird is going to happen after this, after them leaving. I think either Texas is going to have a bad year or Texas is going to be in the championship game with Oklahoma. I don't think there's going to be an in-between. Just my gut.
Who's Texas quarterback going to be?
Casey Thompson.
In the bowl game? Remember him? Amazing.
Yeah. I got first-round grade on him. What do you have?
It's top 10 grade. It's going to be QB1. That's him. He's not even eligible. But
Big 12 player of the year.
Spencer Rattler.
I mean, it's him or Breece Hall. And I don't know. Who would you pick third?
Oof. Gray, probably.
Casey Thompson.
Mims. Or Casey Thompson, yeah.
You know what? Brock Purdy's going to win it, probably. Brock Purdy's going to throw 15 touchdowns, 7 picks, 2,500 yards, and he'll win it.
If Iowa State wins the Big 12, he deserves it.
Fine. Big 12 defensive player of the year.
I love Nick Benito.
Yeah, it's hard not to. 9 sacks last year, 11.5 TFLs. Like, he's one of the bigger names.
This year.
Yeah, one of the – or he is the biggest name defensive player in the Big 12, I think. I think his biggest competition are from his team, like, guys on that. Like, their defense is very good now. They've really put it together under Grinch. And, like, I think his biggest competition's coming from Winfrey and my boy Brian Asamoah.
And Eisworth, yeah.
Yeah, and Eisworth's going to have, like, 33 tackles, 5 pass breakups, 1 pick, and a sack, and win it.
And Mike Rose is going to have 80 tackles. So.
Any guesses for Town of the Week?
Oh, Stillwater, baby. I think it's got to be Stillwater.
Fuck. No, I was going to get sued by the movie if I made Stillwater.
Fuck, Matt Damon's coming after us.
Yeah.
Why is the movie called Stillwater if his daughter's arrested in Europe? Wait, for next episode.
How little does Stillwater have to do with it other than they're from there?
I think the daughter went to Oklahoma State.
But she's not, like, it's an overseas movie, right? Like, she's kidnapped by another, because it's propaganda.
No, it's not Taken. It is propaganda. I salute at the end. Every time I see the commercial.
Honestly, I thought it was Southern Taken.
I would watch that. But no, I think she gets arrested. And Matt Damon, this should not be part of the podcast. I think she gets, fuck it, we're talking Big 12. I think she gets arrested and Matt Damon's trying to clear her name. But it's years later or something. She's been arrested for multiple years. I don't know, maybe he had to save up to travel. I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe the first hour and a half of the movie is him just working hard on the line in Stillwater trying to save up to buy a lawyer.
That sounds good to me.
You have to promise me, every time you see the trailer, you salute at the end of it, because I do.
Oh, I kneel.
Oh, God. Anyways.
So, yeah, Stillwater wasn't the Town of the Week. It wasn't Stillwater.
But it's Movie of the Week.
Correct. Town of the Week is Manhattan, Kansas.
Oh, of course it is. I'm sorry.
You should be. Home to the Kansas State Wildcats.
Can I guess the population?
Wait, let me get there. We're not there yet.
It's my favorite part.
Kansas State Wildcats play at Bill Snyder Family Football Stadium. Who? Like I say every episode, who the stadium's named after. It's named after Bill Snyder, who, if you didn't know, was the head coach of Kansas State from 89 to 2005. And then again from 09 to 2019. was two-time Big 12 champ, 4-time Big 12 North champ, 4-time Big 12 Coach of the Year, 3-time Big 8 Coach of the Year, Hall of Famer, over 200 career wins. Yes, you can guess the population.
Can I just say I love it that how much that happened in college where, like, a legacy coach will leave and, you know, it's, he's finally retired and then come back and have to take over the program again. And my prediction is he'll be Big 8 coach once again. The population of Manhattan. Wait, New York or Kansas?
I don't care. I don't know. I don't know the answer to one of those, though.
72,000.
Wrong.
What's it?
It's 54,604.
It's not that bad. Within 20,000.
Okay, sorry. Notable alumni. They have a lot of alumni, but like no people are actually from Manhattan, Kansas. Wikipedia tried to claim a bunch of people are from there, and I would click and they weren't.
I love that. I love when that happens.
So I'll give you the two people who are from Manhattan, and I'll give you the alumni. The two people actually from there are Eric Stone Street, the actor, and Bobby Douglas. From Manhattan. Bobby Douglas being the first quarterback to run for 1,000 yards in NFL history. Not 1,000. Sorry, he had the record. It was like 984, and Vic broke it. And he didn't play at Kansas State, though. He played at Kansas.
And us Manhattanites will never forgive him for it.
And some notable alumni are Eric Stone Street, Juan Kruger, the now retired Oklahoma head coach, Milton Eisenhower, which is Dwight D's brother, Christy Alley.
Really?
Yes, and I put that just for you. Michael Beasley, who was going to be the next LeBron. Aaron Brockovich.
The movie?
Correct.
Is the Big 12 the conference in movies?
It seems like it. And now I'll just name in order the four greatest Kansas State football players in Kansas State history.
Okay.
Tyler Lockett, number 4. Jordy Nelson, number 3.
Whoa.
Darren Sproles, number 2. And Michael Bishop, number 1.
That's a great top 4.
Thank you.
It's a great top 4.
Thank you.
Michael Bishop follows both of us on Twitter. No big deal.
That's why we're obligated to say that. He's a friend of the show. I bet we could definitely get him on.
Yeah. We should have tried for this episode.
The question is, do we want to? Not really.
I would love to talk to Michael Bishop.
Okay, then have him on. I'm not going to join the episode, but go ahead.
It's just talking bish.
All right, some things to do in Manhattan. AJ's least favorite part of the show. AJ wanted this to be over 20 minutes ago. 40 minutes ago, probably.
Yeah, 40 minutes. I just want to hear what museum is in Manhattan.
All right, let's start with the Flint Hills Discovery Center. What do you discover there? I have no idea. I didn't click.
Flint Hills.
Okay. The Kansas State Insect Zoo.
Okay, well, that's great. That's awesome.
Alternatively, if you don't like insects, they've just got a regular zoo called the Sunset Zoo.
Okay, well, that zoo sucks compared to the insect zoo.
The Liquid Art Winery and Estate. What is liquid art?
Their wine. It's liquid art. Have you ever had a fine Kansas wine?
Oh, yeah. Duh.
No, ain't nothing like it.
Tuttle Creek State Park. It's a cool name. If wine's not your thing, how about the Tallgrass Tap House?
The Tallgrass what?
Tap House.
Oh, I love it. I love to go to the Tallgrass Tap House.
All right, you wanted museums, didn't you?
Yeah, baby. Let's get to it.
The Wolf House Museum.
Okay, do they just have houses where wolves live?
I have no idea. You have to go to find out. It's great marketing. I
killed a guy.
Oh, God. I wish this was over.
They have the Mariana Kistler Beach Museum of Art.
I didn't put that. But I'm glad you looked it up. Because at first when I read that, I was like, they have a museum dedicated to beaches? And then I realized it was just the location.
It's her name? Is it?
Yeah.
The location? Or
I don't know.
It's on campus, though.
It's pretty sick. Of course, the Kansas Wheat Innovation Center.
Does that do anything? Sorry, I'm Googling the Wolf House Museum. I need to figure out what's going on here.
Okay, do you want to just keep the show running, or?
No, I'll read their, I'll read everything on their website. I don't know what it is, Rob. I'm going to be honest. It's been, I don't know what the fuck's going on there. I assume it's they house wolves, and they put them in art.
Okay, I'll take that. And then my final two places to go. Obviously, Axe to Grind, which is an axe throwing place.
Have you been axe throwing?
No, but trust me, when I go to Manhattan, I'm going. But I'm not going to Axe to Grind. I'm going to go to the alternative option. Are you ready for it? And this is the final thing I've got listed. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Located in Manhattan, Kansas, is the axe throwing business called Manhatchet.
It's terrific. That's just terrific.
And that's why you should go to Manhattan, Kansas. And tune in next week for the ACC, where when I tell you why you should go to Chestnut Hill,